Log Talk Radio.
And hello again from Miami to Montreal.
You're not the best man.
Sweet cream on an ice cream sandwich.
Blow your boat.
Excuse me.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Baby oil.
I don't even know what that word means.
You gotta be kidding
it's
me.
It's not over.
The world is listening.
Oh.
The North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by
Daniel Bryan!
When I came to WWE, I heard about the politics here. I heard the nightmares. I heard all about that stuff. But how Vince McMahon loves big guys, and they like the guys that they make themselves. Regardless of whether or not those people can come out here and engage the WWE universe. Was a self-made man. I was not invented by the WWE machine, and I would think with them having stockholders and this being a profitable company that they would want a guy who makes them the most money. Okay? They don't have the ability to judge by prejudice who they pick to be stars. Okay? They need to pick guys who are the best people for this job, and the best person for this job is me.
Says who?
You gotta love NXT, huh?
So, ladies and gentlemen, please do not adjust your internet. You have found the right show for the job. This is the North American Wrestling Connection, and my name is Nikki Heyman. It is now time for me to take over this fine program and make some very, very loud noise across the intrawebs. But I can't do this alone. So please, let me introduce the rest of my panel this evening. From the great city, county, and state of New York, Jason Block.
I thought bullshit ref calls, powerless commissioners, and non-reverse calls only happened in professional wrestling. It happens in baseball, too.
And swinging completely in the opposite direction down in the great state of Texas, our traveling friend Typho.
New North American Wrestling Connection era. Same old North American Wrestling Connection Typho, unfortunately for all of you.
Good stuff.
And just joining us from the conclusion of the hockey game, if I see this number correctly, that would be Mr. Jim Williams, who gave this awesome but slightly long intro.
That is correct. I did my best to give you a heads up. 5-3 Flyers win. I am a happy man. I am a very happy man. In fact, some might say, I am wild and young. Wait a minute. No, I've heard that.
Have you just begun?
Now the song is stuck in everybody's head. Thank you, Jim.
Sorry.
No, you've done us all such a wonderful favor.
Yes. Kill that thing.
No. That reminds me, I have a stray number out here. Line 3, you just came up as 1. Who is that?
Trunks.
Hello?
Am I on?
Yeah, who's line 3?
It's 4th, and I just want to say, Rob Seidelman, we are richer having lost him.
Sir, face palm here. Fourth, are you going to be sticking around this evening?
Yes, and I guess I'm the only one that ever watched The Simpsons.
Yes. All right.
Unfortunately, Fourth, I hate to do this to you, sir, but that would make you our number 5 on the show. But since Settlement is gone and you are interested in returning to the show, do you have a Facebook, sir?
Yes, I do.
Please contact me on Facebook. I will get you on the list, and I'll see about getting you on next week's show. Would that be all right?
Yeah.
Okay, Fourth, I hate to do this, but I do have to press the button. But please feel free to keep listening.
All right.
Thanks, man. No offense, really. As I stated in the show I did a couple of weeks ago, I'm trying to keep the format down to a smaller table, just so that we're not kicking each other's asses. Fourth, you might want to go look up one of the shows from late April, and you'll hear what I'm talking about. mm-hmm. preferably the draft day show.
So, by the way, I love the table. It's a very nice table.
This is, yeah, it's sort of a semi-circular wood, you know.
My like chair has a wobbly leg, though.
I like wood. Wait a minute. No.
This is a fine, fine donation. It is a genuine imitation Matthew Japanese table.
Be dialing for it, people. Limited edition. I'm sorry.
No. You're fine. That you can work on that for next week's intro. All right.
Yeah.
Now, to our audience, all six of you who might be listening, we are not doing recaps anymore. If you did not watch the shows, that is not our fault. That's yours. You vote with your remote, people, and I feel bad for anybody who didn't vote for this past Monday Night Raw. What a blast.
I have to jump in here. This was, the way you said it was best. Somebody broke in from the internet wrestling community and booked it the way we wanted to. That is just the way you said it, and it was right.
And we're promptly fired.
So which one of you, do any of you want to take the credit or the blame for doing the hacking? Because, well, I know it wasn't me.
No, I mean, I was pretty much at home during Memorial Day, but I don't know.
So,
no, but I was too busy sending in my name ideas for NXT Season 2.
I take no...
Take me seriously.
I know nothing.
Fuck, shame on you, sir, and I hope this comes up to you.
Hey, I said a many right. jokes. Take it easy, Vince. I wasn't serious.
All right. So, to do Dawson, I can sum up Raw pretty much that it you have to work really, really hard to nitpick on this show, and so I'm going to try really hard, and this is going to hurt a little bit. Give me a second. Okay.
Ouch.
The only thing that I didn't like was that Ashton did not physically interact with any of the wrestlers. Here's one of the biggest fans that we hear about on his other, that we've heard on his other shows. He made jokes about it on Punk.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We don't see him toe-to-toe with anybody. Jim, you know, you probably have been up and down the dial a few times. Isn't this kind of unusual?
It is a little unusual, but in a sense, I'm kind of glad he was removed from everything to a certain degree because it put the focus more on what was in the ring. I mean, we've already seen with enough guest hosts, the interaction sometimes leads to, oh boy, guest host gets his ass kicked. Yippee. We've been there before. How many times, Wayne Brady? What's his name from that car comedy that bombed completely?
Jeremy Piven.
Thank you, Jeremy Piven. I'm sorry, Entourage, he was famous, and then that movie just killed him. no, but, you know, well, yeah, oh, thank you very much. 2 points for you in advance. It just seems to me like, yeah, he was removed, and I was a little irked by that, but I kind of understood why. He just won the direction of letting the wrestling speak for itself, and I commend that, actually.
So some of the big things we had from the show is our little interaction with Hart, with Bret Hart and Mr. McMahon, with the setup of what I've been jokingly calling all week Cyber Monday. Now, Typho, you know, since you're not going, this is a 3-hour show, you won't be attending. I am going to borrow you later for NXT and SmackDown.
Okay.
I know they've been wanting to do something this kind of interactive before. What do you think they're going to be able to pull this off?
Well, I mean, I'm sure they can pull it off as well as they pulled off Taboo Tuesday and Cyber Sunday, which means they pretty much probably know what they want to do, and they'll steer the fans in that direction. So while we'll have the power to vote, it'll be obvious what we're voting for. That's how I perceive what's going to happen on viewer's choice.
Okay. Because I've noticed WWE.com hasn't given us any kind of place to voice our suggestions yet. Then again, I can just imagine some of the brain damage that the WrestleCrap forums would love to post there.
When they put something up, it'll probably be like, do you want to see John Cena face A, Edge, B, Sheamus, C, Edge and Sheamus in a handicap match?
Bang!
Like,
in a hell in a kennel.
Can I have other options besides Edge and Sheamus? No.
Fiddlesticks.
Yeah, seriously. On top of this, Brett decided that, you know, Brett likes technical wrestlers. So he decided, you know what, I think I'm going to piss Michael Cole off. I'm going to piss Miz off, too, at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So Mr. Daniel Bryan gets a one-night contract ahead of the eventual NXT winner, which amuses me no end.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, Jason, do you think Bryan gets to stick with Raw, or do you think they'll bounce him over to SmackDown?
Bryan is going to stay on Raw for two reasons. One, The Miz is there, and you can continue that. And two, the honestly excellent Michael Cole Bryan angle. I gotta give Michael Cole credit on this. He's been phenomenal in this. He really has, because there's a difference between being a dick that doesn't get over well and being a dick that actually wants you want to see him get his face kicked in. Okay. And you want
someone who really is very hateable to most of us.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Was from Point Blank.
Yeah, well, by the way, for those who don't know about this, which I thought was really cool.
Oh, yeah.
He had a rib pulled on him.
Oh, yes.
at the University of Texas at Austin. When he came out to Jim Ross's Boomer Sooner Oklahoma music. And he got food out of the building, and I think that's brilliant.
That was vintage.
I don't know if it was rib. It was a rib, or even if Michael Cole asked for it.
Well, it's a smart move. It plays to the haterade that everybody has to throw at him. So it was a smart move when you get right down to it. Just it is his home turf, so to speak, Texas. So.
And also the fact that Daniel Bryan became a human dart later on during the The Miz became a dart towards Michael Cole.
Well, he has a sharp point on the top of his head. It's only fair.
Yeah.
Bullseye.
Bullseye, yeah. And it was great.
But it wasn't Darren Young.
Ow.
That would have hurt.
No,
but,
John Cena hadn't made himself up yet, remember?
Yeah, exactly. No, but seriously, the Daniel Bryan stuff, I'm loving. I'm loving because, everyone thought when he was eliminated he was going to be, shunted and moved away. But right now he's been in the spotlight, and eventually he'll get to where he needs to be, I think. May not be right away, but doesn't he have a long-term deal or a one-year deal or a two-year deal with them? I don't know exactly how long it is.
Either one of you?
Okay. Well, I know they reserved three of the NXT rookies from season one, trademarked their names, so they're going to be a part of the fold. But we'll talk about the one winner, of course, later.
We're going to get to that in just a moment.
Yeah.
I'm going to go on to another little slice of Raw here. This is pure speculation on my part. The Orton situation, as we know, he's got a bum shoulder, but he still seems to be sticking around. Either he's just not smart enough to realize that his shoulder is freaking separated, or it's not as bad as it's being reported. He tested it by giving Edge an RKO in the opening segment after Edge finished beating the snot out of Evan Bourne. Later in the show, we have Orton taken out by an inanimate object as Edge slams the door on Orton's chances of being in Fatal 4-Way. I can only hope, right?
We can all hope.
Yeah. After the distraction from the former Edge head.
Yeah, what it should have been, Edge peeking out the door saying, look, I'm distracting you, and Orton's going to go, where? Bam! Sorry.
Right out of a Three Stooges movie, folks.
So, Okay, let's see. Jim, do you think Orton's still going to make the pay-per-view? Because they only put him out for the show, judging from what the announcer said.
Yeah, it's going to be as we say in sports parlance, a game time decision. And I think that because, well, we found out allegedly, right according to WrestleZone, that the injury occurred 2 days before the pay-per-view, the original injury, during, I think, a pickup basketball game of all things. Interesting, when he was trying to slam dunk. I find that kind of odd,
The original speculation was that he'd injured it at the Super Show on Saturday in Cincinnati. And to be honest, I didn't see it. All I saw is
right.
He wasn't celebrating a whole lot after the end of the match. But Cena had the crowd in the palm of his hand, which he's very good at.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking it's a game time decision because I think, creative be damned, they feel they need to have Orton in that main event. But you could plug in. Well, this begs the question. Who do you plug in if Orton can't do it, or do you just make it? Well, you can't make it a three-way because that just defies the logic of the name of the pay-per-view.
Well, yeah, I have
like
a guy.
Like they've never defied logic before.
I've got a few names myself. Jason, who do you?
I got the guy who got the major push this week.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You put him in the match with him, Cena and Sheamus and Edge, and then you have a second face who's got major momentum going. His name is Evan Bourne.
Mm-hmm.
And we all heard how the crowd popped when he came out. Granted, it was a partial rub off of Cena, but come on.
And it was also
not
a partial,
all of that can be Cena.
And it was also a partial rub, excuse me, Nikki, because he got beat up by Edge earlier in the show.
Right.
True.
Now, if you guys didn't see this, I'm going to jump ahead, but I'm coming right back, that Evan Bourne got a hell of a video package on Superstars this week. Yes, nobody watches Superstars, but they put together a video package not just based on what happened on Monday. They put together a beautiful 3-minute bit showing all of his acrobatic moves, everything in and out of the ring, the flying knee press, his leaping hurricanrana, and of course the airborne. I think they're serious. So, Jim, do you think this is really going to go somewhere for Bourne?
I hope so, but of course, honey, there's this one thing about me: I'm a cynic, as you well know. I have a feeling it's going to be the kind of push Kofi Kingston got, which was, okay, we'll put you upper tier, see how you can hang, and then just send you back down the totem pole. I hope it doesn't happen, because quite frankly, I think Evan deserves a shot to hang with the big boys, as they say. He's very talented, like you mentioned, Nikki, he gets the big pop. What's not to like? He's got a solid package in terms of in-ring and on the mic and whatnot. I give him a shot.
Now, I've heard there's a slight knock on him for his mic work. I don't think he's that bad. And
no, he's not that bad.
No. What I've seen of him in Ring of Honor, he also has some very strong mat skills. So he is a complete package. He just doesn't happen to fit into Vince's mold.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's about a full head, he's a full head and a half shorter than what Vince likes.
Sadly, yes.
So, with that out of the way, is there anything else on Raw anybody wanted to talk about?
The whole Santino thing was great.
Holy pasta fagioli.
Santino seeming to getting a little chummy with Kozlov. This is intriguing.
Yes.
Especially since Regal's leaving Kozlov out to dry.
I think he may have bigger fish to fry, as we'll get to as well.
True.
Hmm.
Tyco, you think that this would give Kozlov a face turn?
I think they've been, well, I shouldn't say teasing a face turn because he did turn face at the end of ECW. But, of course, once he moved to Raw, our minds were erased of ECW, so and he was heel again. But I think if they do turn him face and they do put him with Santino, it'll be a good thing for him because anybody who saw him in his OVW days – knows that he can play a good comedy face, kind of like Santino. Not in the same way as Santino, but just the stuff that he does makes him a good comedy face.
He can kind of play the straight man to Santino's comedic styling.
Yeah, it's more, with Kozlov, it's more of his reactions and what he does, whereas Santino is what he says. So they could play well off of each other.
Excellent, excellent. So, pushing ahead.
And, of course, the Usos making their first promo as well.
Yeah, shame on me. Our mission statement from the Usos, who, surprisingly, unlike Tamina, who is more than happy to speak of her parentage, the Usos didn't mention that their dear, dear papa is this dude named Rikishi. I don't know if anybody remembers this guy. Samoan, blonde hair, fat ass.
Hey, that was me for several years. Except the Samoan part. Yeah. No, I'll tell you what irked me more than anything else. How they came out to the ring and the... I frequent WrestleChat on Facebook. And they were affectionately dubbed, for better or for worse, as the Samoan Crime Time, because they had the Samoan version of Crime Time's look down.
Yeah, they were
irked
a little...
me a bit.
Yeah, because they're trying to be not Samoan, but what they're doing is, and excuse me to be politically incorrect, they're being a little ghetto, which is not what they need to do.
Agreed.
What they need to do is just get over the fact that they're Samoan and that they can wrestle. And they've been doing that the last 2 weeks.
Well, yeah, but...
Then their three-minute warning...
Well, yeah, but the douchebag section is already taken.
Never gets old.
So, now with the dust settled over there, let's talk about that grand finale. Mr. Typho, you were live and in person.
Ooh.
At the fine fiasco.
I even got a little camera time during NXT.
Oh, wow.
Where, if I may ask?
You can clearly see me when they interview Michael Tarver in the front row, because I'm right over to his right. I'm just standing there in my CM Punk shirt waving at the camera.
You're a member of the SES, aren't you?
Of course.
Shave your head.
Stay classy.
No, thanks.
And how did the pro breakdown during the final pick play to the crowd there?
They seem to enjoy it. I mean, there were parts where pretty much any time you're at an event, sometimes you can't make out what they're saying, but we could make out most of it, and I was enjoying it, especially Regal calling Matt Hardy Eugene a couple times.
That was the best.
Between
the first
that
time I thought I heard him wrong. I'm like, did he just call him Eugene? And then he did it again. I'm like, yeah, he did.
And Punk walking is just like, enough, I'm out of here, and walking.
Punk had enough and just left.
Well, yeah, because his pro sucked, and, you know, you're not going to see his face till the big pop and the big reveal eventually. Do we actually know why he legitimately shaved his head?
His hairline was receding.
Oh, okay. That's funny.
I thought he left the stage quickly because he had to give his mask back to one of the Vianos because it was on rent. What are they up to? Viano 29 or something now? What the heck?
No, that's not a Viano mask. It's a Generico.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So I need you on the show to explain to these people Generico. Oh, no, I won't go that far.
No. By the way, just one quick thing about Daniel Bryan. He actually liked the kick your head in chant. I don't know if you heard about this. He tweeted
that was at the Cleveland show. I was there. And that was going on in one of the camera sections off to my right, and my section would not join in. Shame on you fans.
Yes.
Shame on you, uneducated, non-ROH watching people.
Yes, there you go. But yes, he did.
Take Uncle Paul's old cell phone to their heads. Come on.
I even tried to get them to start chanting, Michael Cole's going to get his head kicked in. Okay, that was a little too complicated for the WWE.
Yeah.
But it's in the cadence. But it's in the cadence. And it's G. What more do they want?
Daniel Bryan and Michael Tarver, they were having a good time during NXT over there in the front row seats when Wade Barrett was doing his promo on Otunga and said he had less grace in the ring than the Great Khali. I thought Michael Tarver was going to fall out of his chair laughing. Wow.
It's the truth, though. Oh, my God.
Daniel Bryan stood up and clapped.
Unfortunately, it's all true. After seeing Otunga at a house show where his moves included shoulder blocks and one elbow drop. Yes, you have nice body. You don't know the first thing of how to use it. Anyway.
Yeah, he will always be Jennifer Hudson's not as successful significant other. With rhinestones in the back of his head, bedazzled.
While Otunga and Barrett stood in the ring and they went to break, they continued to stand there and look around. My section got a Mr. Hudson chant going for him.
Oh, nice. Oh, nice.
Brilliant. And all of my bias aside, congratulations, seriously, to Wade Barrett, who's been in their developmental system for at least 3 years. He was there at OVW all the way up to when it was shut down. Then they shipped him off to Tampa. He's been through at least 4 name changes, and now he's finally got his ugly mug on TV. So best of luck to him.
Yes.
No. You know what? And he deserved it, I think. I think he really worked hard to stay out from the pack. And it was all Chris Jericho's doing. No, I'm sorry.
No, it's funny you bring that up, though, Jason, because I was kind of hoping for one thing at the end of the show, and maybe you know where I'm going with this.
Okay.
Jericho to, like, smack him in the face, kind of his rude awakening, welcome to my playground kind of thing. Just kind of hoping for that.
What I thought might happen is just the fact that they're, you know, after all, he is British. I'd pay a lot of money for Jericho and Regal to just get into a huge to-do over Barrett.
Yes.
Let them feud for a few months, because if there's no room to move Jericho up, then let him go play with somebody he hasn't played with in a while.
Exactly.
Sure.
Now, Jim, you mentioned earlier that it had leaked that 3 names had been copyrighted for WWE, and that would have been Barrett, Daniel Bryan, and...
I believe the third was Otunga.
That scares me.
Yes. Well, come on, they're just trying to get his significant other to be a part of WrestleMania 27. No, but I'm pretty sure the other one was Otunga.
They're making sure Otunga's going to look good by... a couple of the names they put over on season 2, because in-ring-wise, they're going to make Otunga look like Ricky Steamboat.
Oh, jeez.
You, Titus O'Neil, I'm looking at you.
Yeah, I think that leads us into the next part, I think, Mickey.
Yes, it does. All eight of the second season guys were introduced, pros and rookies. Twitter has already announced that they will all have Twitter accounts and we'll start playing with them after NXT this coming Tuesday. And whoever's playing with the name generator really, really needs to stop smoking whatever it is that they got.
Purple crayons. Yes.
I'm serious. You know, I don't know what they're smoking, huffing, or taking, but God, guys, cut it out. I need a second opinion on this. Typo, you've been pretty quiet over there. Why change the names of 2, for lack of a better term, legacy wrestlers?
Well, you would think that the purpose of that would be to make them their own entity and have them have their own path, but they killed that by the fact that both of their promo videos mentioned their family. So, The only other reason I can think of is just so they can own the name. And why you wouldn't just go with, like, say, Michael Henning or Harris Rotundo instead of Husky Harris and Michael McGillicuddy. I don't know, but maybe that's why I'm not in the WWE, because I don't know any better. Who knows?
Okay.
And also, and here's the thing. The Blackjack Bowe, now, Henning died very young. Was he part, and again, I'm just asking, was he part of the drug era, or was it just the heart, or what happened with him?
I think it was drug-related. He was part of a handful of people that got canned after the plane ride from hell. So, I don't know if it was probably whatever he had been taking during his off time, because I know he passed within a year after that went down.
I believe he had, I think, cocaine in his system when he died, but I don't know if it was an overdose of that or it was just happened to be there.
Go ahead. Awkward. Anyways.
No, we were just both talking at the same time. That's all.
Mm-hmm. What I was going to say was that I'm rather intrigued looking at the pros this time around, in the fact that we've got most of these guys, with one exception.
Oh,
yes.
Have less than 7 years of experience.
Yep. Who's our show veteran this year? Who's our Chris Jericho?
Mark freaking Henry.
The Kool-Aid man himself.
Sexual.
Oh, time. Yeah.
There's your ring general.
So, but, you know, silly things like Cody, Zach, Kofi Kingston. You know, I love Kofi to death, but he doesn't, boom. The boom hasn't been around that long.
True.
So, it's just an interesting choices proposed, and I'm just going to, I weep for our most experienced rookie. Weep for the Warrior.
Oh, God, yeah. See, I think the best one, because we both rang each other, Nikki and I, the moment when we saw Lay Cool and said, oh, this guy's been around for a long time. And then we saw Caval, a.k.a. Loki, and our mutual thought was the same. Who'd he piss off? Who'd he piss off?
I think I was the only person in the building on Tuesday when Lay Cool popped up on the screen and we're talking about being the first female pros. Two thoughts came into my head. Number one, are they putting a diva on NXT Season 2? That thought quickly left my head. Thought two was, it's Caval.
Yeah, well, Michael Cole has a new play toy, ladies and gentlemen. Yes.
And Caval will not pull his punches or kicks, and yes, he can kick that high.
Yes.
Unfortunately, and just to step on something you said, Typho, I wish they had brought up one of the divas, but they really wouldn't have been able to do anything with her.
Yeah, what would she do?
I mean,
she
unless
was the only diva on the show.
Right.
She gets Max Savannah around.
She can learn from Savannah how to ring announce or something.
Shame on you, sir. Okay. If they had actually, just a little fantasy booking, if WWE had actually managed to twist Awesome Kong's arm and got her to come over, they could have had her skip developmental and actually be the monster that she is under Lay Cool's tutelage. Because she'll fight the guy. She don't care. And every so often, she'll fight Lay Cool.
Do didn't mm-hmm. she fight? She fought guys in TNA too, didn't she?
Yeah,
occasionally. So, fighting guys for 6 to 8 weeks, and then going into the women's division and starting to, and killing people. What's that like?
And you're going to draw more people over to NXT because of her, because, hey, she's got a pretty wide fan base. She is probably the best female wrestler in the business.
Yes. And I understand in person she is an absolute sweetheart. I haven't had the honor. I hope to meet her at some point.
A friend of mine has and said she's, the gentle giant sort of deal.
Oh, cool. Very nice.
So, with the eight that we've got right now, I'm going to take a quick run around the table. Early favorites, Jason?
Wow. Let me actually pull up what I sent you, because I can do that.
Okay.
Technology.
While you're doing that, Jim, who do you got?
I'm not really sure. I'd like to hope Hennig's offspring will do something, but I'm really torn because I'm more obviously we're a little pulling for low key here, but I think Henning's offspring might have a shot here.
I'm gonna make
Mr. McGillicuddy.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. Please. That dumbass name.
Dula, where are you? Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm gonna pick somebody who I loved what I saw. In the two mm-hmm. moments that he faced. His name's Alex Riley. I loved what I saw.
Right.
Total douchebag heel, but he came off like he had it right there in the moment that I saw. Let's hope he can work.
Typho?
Okay, I'm going to say, first off, I've seen all these guys pretty extensively because I'm a regular FCW viewer. One thing I'm going to say first off, Titus O'Neil, you have no business on this show. Titus O'Neil, for those of you who don't know who he is a former football player. He played in the Arena Football League up until like a year and a half ago. He signed with the WWE in December. He's been wrestling since January of this year, and he's going to be on TV.
Oh, man.
You know what this means? He'll win it.
Terrible.
Oh, shut up.
Even.
But as for a winner, what I'm going to say, what we learned from this first season was that the early favorite, which was obviously Daniel Bryan, probably won't win. So Caval will be fine on his own. He probably won't win. He's going to steal the show just because of who his pros are, though. But what I'm going to – my pick to win as of right now is Percy Watson because the guy's awesome. He's great in his role. He's Darren Young's tag team partner in the South Beach Boys. He's the talker and charisma of the team, and he's pretty decent in the ring. And it's hard to describe what he is. You'll just have to see, but he's excellent in his role. And I think he can very easily get the fans behind him.
We'll see. Right now, I'm a little torn. Although, admittedly, like Jason, Alex Riley really, really got me. Then again, I dig a good talker. Let's see what he can do in the ring. So, after he said Alex Riley and the Seven Dorks, I'm like, okay, you win. I know, I admit I'm very easily swayed, but it was funny.
No, it's just... Did we sign him long-term?
Tony, yeah, well...
I got to find out how long Riley's been around because I wonder if he was part of some of the fraternity stuff they were doing in Ohio Valley.
I think so.
He was signed in 07.
Okay, they pulled the plug on OVW in like April of 07, I believe.
From what I remember, when he started, he started with FCW, was using his real name, and he eventually moved into his Alex Riley character that he has now. He was teaming up with Brad Attitude. I forget what he was using, some other name. He was the campus legend, Brad Allen, I believe. They formed a tag team and became like the like the varsity jacket wearing jocks, basically, and that's where Riley's
right.
gimmick came from, and they released Brad Allen, and Riley kept going on his own.
Okay. So we'll see where this goes. I'm really intrigued, and just for grins, I looked at all this and said, you know, I almost see the lazy booking version of all of this, where, you know, oh, do I really want to go through this? Never mind. If you sit down and look at it again, there's a lazy way to put all this together. But again, they shook this up nicely, and we're going to see, hopefully we'll get to see some more pro and rookie interaction, because they kind of dropped the ball with Truth and Otunga. They had the one fight backstage. I really wanted to see a couple more fights out of those guys.
I think they might have learned something.
So we'll
I can't wait to see a little interaction between John Morrison and Eli Cottonwood.
How's the weather up there?
Eli Cottonwood is an escaped mental patient, so let's see how he likes his trip to the Palace of Wisdom.
Well, there you go. A little more interaction, a little less double dare obstacle course, please. Thank you.
This is a question that I don't think we covered in the pre-show meeting. What do you guys want to see? What you were talking about just a second ago, in this second season. What do we want to see?
Lot less double dare. I'm with Jim on that one. I want to see more. I want to see more rookie versus rookie matches. I want to see some rookie versus pro stuff. I want to see some full blown interaction, if not just backstage. Heck, how hard can it be to build a video package of these guys goofing around outside of the arena or in the arena while it's empty during the day?
I need to do more showing the pros, showing their pros actually, say, training them, teaching them something. Like, show them just, like, working in the empty arena before the show. Like, show Morrison trying to teach Eli Cottonwood how to do the Starship Pain or something.
Oh, wow. Well, what it comes down to is, that's an image I'm going to have burned in my head. What's going to come down to is, what I think we all want to see, is more interaction between the pros and the NXT rookies. That's what it comes down to backstage. If they're getting along, especially if they're not getting along, because that dynamic is as important, if not more so, quite frankly. And, you know, some of the challenges, you can have one once in a while, but don't turn it into a game show where Matt Stryker looks like Mark Summers with his jean suit on. It's like I said, a little less double dare, a little closer. Well, not. I don't want it to be full blown tough enough, mind you. But you know,
they want to go
a happy
enough,
medium.
I want first season tough enough. If we're going to do tough enough,
yeah.
There you go.
And by the way, TNA has actually done a better job of showing the backstage stuff than WWE has. Even if it may have been staged, TNA does a better job of them.
Well, I've noticed with what I've seen since now I am contractually obligated to watch the show, that they shoot it more reality show style, and I think they actually use a different video format altogether when they're in the back.
They have. They've gone
girl,
to
girl,
what a filming kind of look.
I knew you'd pick up on it too, Jim.
Yeah.
Now,
like they go to 24 frames per second or something. I don't know.
So, unfortunately, to be honest, not a whole lot happened on. I didn't feel a whole lot happened on TNA this week. We only had a couple of big things, and one of those big things was that chick.
I didn't know TNA signed Bertha Faye.
Oh, jeez.
Bertha Faye.
I thought the same damn
thing. Barbie Whippleman.
I said someone old Nakano is rolling in her grave and crying. But whatever that was, I want brain bleach.
Yeah, Roxy Lotta Love was her name.
While she was out there walking around, you know, somewhere in the back, Hogan was sitting there going, "This is good stuff, brother."
Oh, hell no!
Hey, big girls need loving, too. That's all we're saying.
Yeah, but there's kind of a limit on big you really want to, you know, mess with. Is it riding the tide or the motion of the ocean? I mean, come on.
Touche. Not gonna say anything.
Ah, that's good. Touche. Very good. I like that.
Yes, so, I and her big touche, but we won't go there.
Okay, hang
double
on.
Double entendres.
No.
Thank you.
Let's see.
Where's the winner's big money game? Oh, I'm sorry. No.
I can see. That was better than my line.
Thank you.
Also, to prove an axiom that I heard Mr. Kennedy or Mr. Anderson, depending on who you subscribe, said at Bagels, Biceps, and B. Carter's a few years ago, it is amazing what gets over.
Yes.
Mr. Anderson has sat there and called himself an asshole and essentially has the entire Impact Zone behind him. He's hurting my brain. Anyway.
You know what it is, though? And I think it's a sort of reaction to the PGification.
Yes.
Of the wrestling business for the most part.
Exactly.
And the fact that Spike has the balls, and I'll give him credit, for actually not bleeping the word asshole.
And they had every opportunity to, as it was taped how long ago?
Yeah, 2 to 3 weeks ago, yeah. They could do it.
Now,
what it comes down to is it's anti-disestablishmentarianism to its truest form of the meaning.
Yes.
That's really what it is. That's me for me, but you know what? If they're going to say ass, I'm going to chant along with it. Ass.
No, asshole. Yes, you're in, you know, there's something there. You've heard the chants, we're an asshole, you're an asshole, you know, I mean.
And they love it. Now, TNA needs to enjoy this, but they really, really got to watch their step now.
True.
Doing it for the sake of doing it, just because WWE can't, and I'm not saying this as an apologist to WWE, that could turn around and bite them. That could just turn around and bite TNA in the ass.
Yeah, very well could.
Because if you do enough blood, and if you do enough swearing, and if you do enough skin, and Orlando Jordan, you still creep me the hell out.
Yeah.
You're going to reach a limit. You're going to reach a point where you can't go any further. And then the fans are going to get upset because they feel you've stopped.
Well, there's a difference between, Nikki, anti-disestablishmentarianism, I just wanted to say that word again, and freak show. And they're wavering on that line quite a bit.
Yeah.
Anti-disestablishment. I don't even know what the hell that means. You got to send me all these sound bites, kid. I'm telling you.
Oh man.
For future bits.
You're gonna have a full box as soon as I can find the damn sound on my hard drive. Anyway, but Jason, what were you saying?
I was saying that I agree with you to a point because honestly, the WWE, as we saw by the numbers, the live event shows are up.
True.
They've got a boatload of kids in their Cena shirts and their Rey Mysterio shirts. Sorry.
We'll get to that in a moment.
Yeah.
Booyaka.
But, and TNA doesn't want to, and pun intended here, cross the line into, into smut. The asshole thing is cute. It's sort of the one segment that basically said, you know what, hey, we're going to be total, assholes and push the limits. Yeah, exactly. And push the limits here a little bit, along with Orlando Jordan. There's like one or two segments.
Yeah.
If 25% or maybe even 15% of the show is pushing the envelope, I have no problem with that.
Right.
If they get into the, hey, you know, show your tits, screw your boobs every time, it's going to get boring.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not fun anymore. And B, it's going to turn off a certain segment of the audience, which you may or may not want.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's just something that's just my warning to TNA. Yes, you have this license to do it, but do it in moderation, and it will reward you down the line. It will move your ratings up. And since I don't have those handy, anybody got some numbers for me for this week?
Didn't they go 1-0 again?
Did TNA actually make it to one again this week?
I think so.
Yeah, I believe so, which is only 0.3 better than half-pint brawlers, ladies and gentlemen.
which I did not see.
It was interesting. It was
okay.
Interesting. Think of Jackass with nothing but midget wrestlers.
Jeez, okay.
Yes, Jackass with midget wrestlers and some serious blood, yes.
Yes, and Raw did a 3-2.
Which on Memorial Day, Memorial Day weekend is a bet.
That is a fact.
The NXT finale did a 1-2.
Yeah, I got a nice little bump.
And I'm just trying to see if we have any more.
Especially going up against the Flyers in the Stanley Cup final.
And
NXT
did a 1.17.
Excellent.
There you go.
So, now with our remaining 8 minutes, we've got some SmackDown to discuss, and I'm going to do my best to maintain my composure.
Go get him.
Okay. At risk of sounding like a liar from what I said at the beginning of the show, this does require a little bit of setup. Kane came out to eulogize his brother as if he was indeed dead for real. So maybe, it might just be storyline, but maybe Undertaker's future is up in the air. He's been having nagging injuries for so long that, I need no obligation from the dead man. If you don't want to come back, dude, you've been at it for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with this. So this is going to cause some problems in a couple of different directions. One, we just lost Undertaker for the Fatal 4-Way. Two, Teddy lost his big gun. The one person that he could stick on anybody and everybody just to get them off of his back. And I think that's why he looked a little pained and a little worried when he made that announcement at the beginning of the show. And he seemed a little out of sorts when he was talking to Vicky a little later on. Was it just me? Well,
he's going to search the streets for Rodney Mack.
Give him any ideas.
Well, we all know the non-storyline version, you know?
Yes. We know what's really going on. The fact that Taker's broken his orbital bone and he's not going to try to play through it like he did back in 95.
Thanks, Mysterio.
Okay, then this is where I've got to really watch my temper. Because I like Rey Mysterio. I do. I really do. But I saw tonight was not how you fix the problem. This is not the first time Mysterio has hurt somebody in the last 2 months. When putting Mysterio in Undertaker's place is the incorrect answer. I think Rey needs to be told either find a brace that does not do this kind of damage to other people, or we are making you take 6 months off to go get your knees fixed. I'm really frustrated about this, and I can't be the only one. Typho, what do you think?
Well, I was there and had to witness all of this happening, and from second one of SmackDown being taped, I'm like, well, somebody's going to replace The Undertaker, obviously. Just from the opening, I'm like, okay, it's going to be Kane. They announced the battle royal. Okay, it's going to be Kane. Throughout the night, he's interrogating people. Okay, Kane, definitely Kane. Battle royal comes. It's Rey Mysterio. Why? Because I guess apparently you injure somebody, you get rewarded by getting their spot.
It just irritates me because it's a position set up that we know, you know, now that the way it's set up now, that fourth person is not going to be a guaranteed win anyway. We either have Swagger retaining or Big Show taking it off Swagger. And I really don't see them moving the belt off Swagger right now. He's doing too well.
Thank you, Mr. Oklahoma Sooner Jersey, which was a great, awesome dick move, by the way.
And thank you, Kane, for making sure that Jack Swagger never, ever, ever, ever sings on television again.
Well, we know where he got his singing lessons, don't we? Yes.
We know them raw. Stop that.
The answer to replace The Undertaker at Fatal 4-Way was in that Battle Royal. It's a man by the name of Vance Archer. I mean, look where you were this Tuesday night. Just think of that hometown pop when he tosses Mysterio over the top rope. So the pop may have been about 15 people strong, but I would have been right there jumping the rail to celebrate.
Let me think. So, Jim, would you throw a wild card at this one?
I'm not so sure. I don't know. I mean... You know, I'm with you on the whole Rey Mysterio thing. I'll give you that, definitely. I mean, you can't... He's not the guy. I'm liking what Typha was saying. Kane should have probably been, because it was built up as such, as he said, from watching the show.
Why not Christian?
Yeah, why not Christian? And why not...
Simple. Vince never wants him to hold a belt. That's why. Sad reality.
Anyway, I would have taken Christian.
Oh, I'm with you. I want to see it, but it probably ain't going to happen. Anytime soon.
Yeah.
Why not MVP, who gave the world champion a great match earlier in the show anyway?
There you go. Possible.
There you go.
CM Punk, baby.
He wasn't even in it. He was standing outside watching.
He's already in the Fatal 4-Way.
Besides, he's already in it, so it didn't matter. Now, you really want some intrigue, then you have Gallows win it.
Oh, yeah, that would be interesting. That would be different.
Let's test his loyalties. I really wanted Kane in there because, you know, Kane's not going to win, but he can go toe-to-toe with the other three guys, no problem. Nothing to it.
Mm-hmm. Brings a dynamic to it.
Yeah. Yes, MVP would have been a good fit. I mean, they could have done something underhanded and got Ziggler in there. They could have done something, you know, they could have really incited a riot and just have McIntyre present a note to one of the referees and they just throw the whole match out.
That would have been great, too. As you said, there would have been 50 different ways to do this. Putting Ray in there is basically, you're absolutely right, rewarding a guy for screwing somebody over twice.
Yeah,
How about Finley? We got to see him for the first time in several months. Why not throw him in there?
I hate to say it, but they brought him back, and then there was no fanfare to the broadcast of him returning. The fact that he's not been on TV in, 7 months?
The last time I remember him on TV was him getting beat down by Batista right before the Royal Rumble.
So, okay. 5 months, but still, you know, I realize he's not going to, you know, he's not a huge factor to the roster, but when you come back, come on, at least give the guy something. So.
Exactly.
With that said, guys, we are down to our last 45 seconds of the show. I think this is really going to work. Keep in mind, you guys are not going to be here every single week, but, you know, you will be called upon at random intervals once a week.
No problem.
Now, when you need me, I'll be here.
Awesome. Typho, same thing?
Yep, and I'll be here whenever I'm needed.
Okay.
Same as the other two.
Yep. Fourth, I know you're not. I know you've already hung up, but I'll be happy to have you if you'll be coming back. So, that's one North American Wrestling Connection under my belt with a whole bunch more to go. Gentlemen, thank you so much. Let's do this again next week. How about that?
Let's do it.
All righty. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Jericho for downfall. Need one say more. Good night.